Today's perek is Yehoshua perek chet. And so we just finished a perek that showed the tremendous transition, the difference between coming into Eretz Yisrael the way we initially thought we would, coming into Yericho, and the terrible Me'ila Becherem, which caused the failure in Ai. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer going to be with us the same way. Everything now is based on Hesterponim, elements of Goral that come in early. And because of this, in today's parak, we're going to see the massive change, which is meant as now a simon and a lesson to the way that the rest of this war is going to proceed, and a lesson to Yehoshua about the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will relate to us in the future, and incidentally, a way in which Yehoshua's taina can be answered, remarkably, although I haven't seen it. Vayomer Adonai Yehoshua, al tira v'al techat. Now you'll notice that that's the language that we used at the beginning of Yehoshua, when al tira v'al techat means everything's going to be great. But here, everything is not going to be great. There's a different way of al tira v'al techat, because kach imcha et kol am ha-milchama v'kuma alei ha'ay. Now, once you say that, we're talking about what yesterday was. Don't bother sending too many people over here. I mean, we only need 2,000 or 3,000 guys. It's a small town. We'll be able to finish them up in no time. Everything's great, Yehoshua. Take the whole army, you know, and kumale ha'ai, yeah, exactly, disproportionate completely. Re'eina tati biatchat melech ha'ai vet amo vet iro vet artso. And behold, you shall see. I'm going to give you over the nation, the city, and the territory. Yeah, thanks a lot. Destroy Ai and its ruler the same way you did to Yericho. But one big difference. Don't start up with the Scherim jazz ever again. I insist that you take it for yourselves. I'm not interested in these Scherims. That's the thing that caused all the problem yesterday, as we saw. And therefore, you're going to take it for yourselves, and what's more, Simlecha orev la'ir mi'achareha. And the reason that these things go together is because they both imply the fact that I have to hide in ambush. They both imply the tremendous change from Yericho. Remember that in Yericho, we start off with this idea of a cherem. We're going in there not to take anything. Not only that, the wall's going to collapse. Ish negdo. Walk right in. Everything is done above board. There's no idea that revolves around deception, ambushes, tricks, tactics. We just simply walk in. Here, in the same way that I tell you, no more cherems, I'm telling you that you're going to have to start thinking about tactics. You put yourself now, an ambush force, hiding behind the city. And so they get to go up to Ai. This is from Yericho, Ai is up. Vayivchar Yehoshua 30,000 ish. You understand the difference here? It's frightening. From 3,000 people to 30,000 people. From people who are sitting, marching around the walls of Yericho for 7 days, in case you guys didn't get the message, we intend to attack. And then at night we go to sleep, wake up the next morning, start again. Over here it's the night that we use to transfer forces. We don't want you to know that we're there. It's not 3,000 people, it's 30,000 people. And that also is not enough. Now look, you guys, you got to hide behind the city. Don't get very far away. You have to be ready to run into the city. We're going to draw out the population. Be ready to respond to my signal. We will pretend that we're going to attack from the gates. The Ayaki Yates Ulikratenu, when they come out and they try to defeat us, Kasher Barishana, the way they did in the first war of Ai, in which we were indeed defeated, Manasulifnayam, we will turn about and start running. They are going to say, aha, it's these cowardly Jews running again. So Vyatsu Acharenu, Ad Ihatiknu Ota Minair, we're going to be Minatek. We will take them out, disassociate them from the city completely. Ki yomru nasim lefanenu kasher berishona. Aha! The Jews are running again the way they did the first time. Vanasun lefnehem, and will continue to run. And you are going to be behind us. Atem takumu me'orev. When I give the signal, You're going to get up from the ambush behind the city, which will be left undefended because these guys are going to be so sure that we're running, and it will be given by God into your hands. And when you capture it, you must burn it. And we'll see why this was so important. Note, this is not optional. As they say in Saal. This is your warning. You better listen to this because this is important. Vayishlachem Yehoshua vayelchu el ha-ma'arav vayeshvu bein beit el uvein ha'ai miyam la'ai vayalen Yehoshua b'layla hu betoch ha'am. And so Yehoshua sent them. They were bein beit el uvein ha'ai. Boy, that is mikedem le-beit el. That is a pasuk that we sure have heard before. And that is the pasuk, of course, of Avram Avinu, who put up his tent in exactly that way. That's the Mikedem LeBeit El, and built there a Mizbeach, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. And why did he build a Mizbeach there? As we're told back in Bereishit, he built a Mizbeach because he knew that he had to be Mitzpalel for the capture of Ai. So that we're going back to the original time in which Avram Avinu was Nichnas La'aretz, built his Mizbechot, was Mefarsim the Shem Hashem, and we're now in exactly the same place. Yehoshua spends the night B'Tocha Am. And so he's part now of this effort, as we said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned him, I told you, if you send people out, nothing's going to happen. Either you're with them, or it's not going to work. So Yehoshua was a common soldier, sleeping there on the ground with everybody else. Vayashkem Yehoshua baboker, vayifkod et ha'am, he gets up early in the morning, gives his orders. Vayal hu v'ziknei Yisrael lifnei ha'am ha'ai. He goes in front with the Sanhedrin, V'chol ha'am ha'milchama asher ito, olu, v'yikshu v'yavo neged ha'ir, v'yachanu mitzvon la'ai, v'hagai beinav uvein ha'ai. So there they were. They were to the north of the city, whereas the ambushing force was to the west of the city, and because they were bein ha'ai or bein beit el, and they pretended there, they set up their forces, and he goes, he takes now 5,000 people and he hides them. To the west of the city. And so the main encampment, Vayasimu means the setup, was set up, arrayed for war. And the actual people who were going to fight, which was the ambushing force, that was to the west of the city. And it's called here Akevo. Now that's a very important word. Because Akevo, of course, it refers to deception. This is no longer Avram Avinu. This is Yaakov Avinu. It's a completely different way of relating to the war. It's the exact opposite of the honesty that we saw in Yericho. This is what we're going to do. You got 7 days to do whatever you think you can do against us. Watch us. Broad daylight. Round and round. You think we're crazy. And then we walk in. Over here, we're going to pretend. We're going to see an Akev, which is now the ambushing force, and that's going to be hiding Miyam La'ir. Vayelech Yehoshua b'layla ahu betoch ha'emek, and Yehoshua walked that night in the valley between. Now this we're going to get back to, because Chazal see this halicha be'emek as referring somehow to the emek of halacha, relating it all the way back to the Sar Tzva Hashem that came at the beginning of the story, and we'll get back to talk about this. But meanwhile, let's take it kipshuto. They see the approaching forces early in the morning, and so he takes his entire nation out there, and they're now facing the desert where they had come from, and he has no idea that there's an ambushing force behind. And then Vayinagu Yehoshua v'chol Yisrael lifneihem, vayinasu derech hamidbar. And so what happens is that Yehoshua basically pretends to the lashon of shvira, nega, nigaf. So he was now all of a sudden turned tail and starts to run as if he is being affected by the approaching battle. They can't stand. Vayizaku kolam asher ba'ir. And so once they saw that, they called everybody out from the city. Come and run. Let's chase them. Lirdof achareihem. Vayirdefu achrei Yehoshua, they started running. Vayinatku min ha'ir, and they became completely separated from the city, not even leaving behind a force to protect the city. Lo nishar ish ba'ayu beitel asher lo yatzu achrei Yisrael. This was like such a popular, great, it's Jew shooting time, boys. And so they're all out there chasing. Vayazvu et ha'ir p'tucha, they leave the city open. Vayirdefu achrei Yisrael. Vayomer Adonai Yehoshua, now's the time. Now raise your lance towards the eye. I will give it into your hands. Yehoshua lifts, this is very reminiscent of Moshe Rabbeinu, who now lifts his mateh or his hands in the Melchemes Amalek, which Yehoshua himself participated in. And we'll see that he keeps the kidon up in the sky until the end of the battle, exactly where the Moshe Rabbeinu kept his hands up, as if to say, Kozman Shizol Mestaklim Klapi Mala. Here too, Yehoshua had to do that. They saw the signal. That was the signal for the Oreif to attack. Oreif kam Eirami Mekomo, and at a run, Vayarutsu Kinetot Yado, they run as they see Yehoshua raising his hands. They rush into the city, Vayelkedua. They capture the city, secure it, via Maharuva Yatzito Tayir Be'esh, and as he commanded, they immediately set the city on fire, which was a great way of attracting the attention of the forces that were chasing after Yehoshua, who suddenly realized they left their city undefended. They have just lost their entire families, everything that they own, any place to go back to. And here they are, between a rock and a hard place, because obviously whatever force is in that city is about to come out, which of course is the next step. And they turn around. Vayifnu anchei ha'ayach areyem, the people from the eye turn behind them. And good Lord, vayiru v'nei Allah shana yira shamayma. They see the city in flames. Lo haya b'hem yadayim. They just gave up. There was nothing to fight for anymore. Nowhere to go. There was no point in even lanus eina v'eina. They had nowhere to run. V'am ha'nas ha'midbar. And the fleeing Jews suddenly turn around. They begin chasing their pursuers. Yehoshua, meanwhile, in the nation, sees that the ambush force has taken over the city. And now that force that was in the city goes out of the city to greet the other Jews who are rushing towards the enemy from the front, and they're now rushing towards the enemy from the back. Here the people of the eye are caught in this vise, leaving nothing, so that every last soldier in that war from Ayin Beit El was destroyed. Now, one of the beautiful achievements of this, on the surface it just looks like things are bad, we need strategy, we have to do, but remember that Yehoshua's taina was, what are the goyim going to say now that we've turned tail? Well, what are the goyim going to say now? These bastard Jews, they're brilliant, pretended to turn tail so that they could get everybody out the next day, destroy everything without having to raise a finger. Oh my God, that's even worse than we thought. So you basically turn now a complete failure into a new level victory in which they have to fear the tactical advantages as well of the Jews. So Yehoshua is saying, so what are we going to do now? What can I say? Like, what's your problem? Don't worry. We turn it into an advantage. And now the whole thing is looked at as a stratagem from the beginning.
Was it a real retreat or a false retreat?
In the beginning, it was real, the first battle. But now, looking back in retrospect, they say, oh my gosh, that's a brilliant idea.
They just did that to suck us in.
Yeah.
It's like military shooting.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so this was a fantastic move. And so nothing is left. Vet melech ha'ay tafsu chai, to decide what shall be done with the king, what shall be his mishpat. And they took him alive, vayakrivo oto Yehoshua, bringing him to Yehoshua, vayikichalot Yisrael la'arog et ko yoshvei ha'ay basadeh, b'midvar asher redafum bo. After they completed the slaughter of their enemies in the field that were chasing after them, vayiplu kulam lefi charev atumam, every last one of them, till the last man fell to the sword. Vayashuvu ko Yisrael ha'ay, they then went into the city and destroyed the city. Vayaku ta lefi charev, vayi kol hanoflim bayom ahu mi'ish v'yad isha, 12 aleph, Kol Anshei Ai, 12,000 people, the inhabitants of Ai, died to the last woman. V'Yoshua lo eshiv yado asher nata b'kidon ad asher echarim et kol yoshvei Ai. The idea of keeping the kidon up to the sky was to maintain the concentration on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence until, not only until the battle was won, but all the way until the deeds were done. Raka be'imau shlala yir ayibat zezulayam Yisrael kidva adunay asher tivad Yoshua. This time, taking shalal was of the essence, because this is an entirely different type of war. The first war was a war of Hegdash. It was a war of the Arona Brit. It was a war in which the Goyim are supposed to get the message that, you know, God does their work for them. Now it becomes a war in which they do the work like any other soldier. They take the shalal like any other soldier. There's nothing holy about this. It's holy stratagem. It's all part of encouraging now the response of the Goyim, the war. This changes everything. Now it's time for the milchamot, and these milchamot indeed are going to go on for a very long time. In fact, are never finished, really, in terms of the real Yerushat Ha'aretz. And so what we've done is the transition of Achan to today is the transition to a different kind of life. And you'll notice, we mentioned yesterday, that we go from Enek Achor, as the Navi mentions, in Hosea, which is a remnant to Yehoshua. The Navi Hosea is Merames that Emek Achor becomes Petach Tikva. That's how they got the town Petach Tikva, was from that Navi. It becomes the opening of hope, which goes back to the Tikvat Chut HaShani, as I mentioned yesterday. But this is because the Achan, you'll notice that Achan, what were the last words in the previous parsha? They made this tremendous pile of stones around Achan. And take a look what they do today. Vayisrof Yoshua to Ai, vayasimu tel olam shimama adayamazeh. They turn the city of Ai. Ai means ruins. They turn Ai into Iim, into Ai. So it becomes the city of ruins until today. Vet melech Ai tala ala eitz ad eta arek. They hung up the king, and that's what they do with all the other kings. Uchevo Hashemesh, but because the Torah says lo talim nivlato, which is a chiyuv in Eretz Yisrael according to Rosh Hashanah Manet, never leaving a nevela. Mina eitz, so they take him down. Vayashlichu ota el petach shara ir. They throw the corpse at what was once the entryway into Ai, and just as they did to Achan, vayakimo alav gal avanim gadol ad hayom hazeh. Now you'll notice this is the incredible. There's a mesira. I don't know how reliable it is, but there's a mesira, the tikvas chut hashani, in which Emek Achor becomes petach tikva. Becomes al kein nikaveh, which is the otiot Achan. Al kein nikaveh lecha Hashem Elokeinu lirot merah v'tifa. This whole idea of petach tikva comes from Achan himself, who in the end does teshuvah and who becomes now the simon for what appears to be a horrifically long and hopeless warfare that goes over thousands of years, becomes in the end indeed petach tikva and the renewal of Eretz Yisrael in the Gula Atida. That is part of Knesset La'aretz. Right. Yeah, that's what they say, that Achan wrote it. It connects to the fact that the problem with comments is that this is like an internal kind of shiur. So I have to go through it afterwards and cut. So that's very important, but I can't have conversation. I'm going to have to cut all this out. And then it's like so much work for me. I have no idea. It takes me an hour to clear up what we've spent, 20 minutes discussing. A comment like that is very, very cautious. The before and the after and so on. So Yehoshua actually, as Rabbanea pointed out, has the Alkeni Kaveh written, the Aleinu prayer that includes Alkeni Kaveh, is written in Knesset La'aretz. And as Rabbanan pointed out, there's a Masorah that Achan actually was the writer of the prayer of Al Kein Nikaveh. And so, Az Yivne Yoshua Mizbeach Ladunoy Elohei Yisrael Bahar Eval. And at that point, now you'll notice that this is a new parsha completely. It's a parsha Ketucha. And it actually may not have happened now at all. We'll talk about that in a moment. So at this point now, Yoshua builds a Mizbeach Bahar Eval. Har Eval is nowhere near here. It would have meant that they go up till Shechem from here. And they're facing now Har Eival and Har Gerizim, as Barnea shows us on the map. We've gone from there, Shechem. He's got his hands over Shomron. If you take a look to the right, you get to Beit El, and we're Bain. Yeah. We're going from Beit El all the way across to Shechem. We're now facing the two large mountains to the north here, Har Eval and Har Gerizim. These mountains, although we don't think of them as very high, is because they're gradual, but they're actually nearly a kilometer high, Har Gerizim and Har Eval. That's a heck of a mountain. And he goes to Har Eval, Kasher Tziva Moshe Eved Adonai et Bnei Yisrael, Kakatuv B'Sefer Torat Moshe, just as it's written in the book of the Torah that Moshe left us, that we are to build by Har Gerizim and Har Eval Mizbach Avanim Shleimot, Asher Lo Hanif Aleihem Barzel. We must use stones that have never been exposed to metal. Vayalu alav alot latunai vayizbechu shlamim vayichtov shom al ha'avanim. They take those avanim, which have been taken from the Yarden, are now brought, written the entire Mishnat Torat Moshe, asher katav lifnei b'nei Yisrael. They write Sefer Devarim on these stones. It's a machlokas in the Gemara. If they first cover the stones with seed and write on the seed, or if they write on the stones and cover the writing with seed. But in either event, this is supposed to be an opening to the entire world to come and to be able to learn Teras Meisha. There are some who taina that this couldn't mean the entire Mishnah Torah. Maybe some of the Rishonim say maybe it was like a Sefer HaMitzvahs, of listing all of the mitzvahs in order or in some kind of structure so that people would recognize that the Knesset of Eretz Yisrael is with these mitzvot. V'chol Yisrael zikeinav v'shotrim, and you have now all of the shotrim, the shoftim, shoftav, omdim mizeh umizeh la'aron, neged ha'kohanim alavim nasei aron brit Adonai, kager ke'ezrach, the entire country, those that were there all along, or those that are the geirim, they're all there, chetzio mul har grizim, v'chetzio mul har eval, and just as we were told in the Torah, that we're supposed to split up, we have shisha shvatim, on Har Gerizim, Shisha Shvatim, and Har Eval, which Lamaisa doesn't mean up on top of the mountain, it means at the base of the mountain, with the Levim, the Kohanim Alevim, that were holding the Orim, not all of the Levim, but some say the Zekanim of the Levim and the Gemara, that they were in the middle, because Levi is one of the six Shvatim, so he couldn't be all in the middle. But so you had six Shvatim, and then the Kohanim with the Orim Abris, and the Zekanim down in the middle, facing now Chetziomul Har Gerizim, Chetziomul Har Eval, changing the direction in which they're facing when they say bracha, when they say klala, kasher tziva Moshe eved Adonai levarech et ha'am Yisrael barishona. This is what needs to do first to be mevarech, even though we talk about arura ish. Each one of those arurim, as the Gemara says, began with baruch ha'ish. So if it's arura ish asher yaseh pesel umasecha, we have to first be back in baruch ha'ish asher lo yaseh pesel umasecha. V'yachrechein karat kol divrei haTorah, habracha v'haklala, kechol hakatuv b'sefer haTorah, every last thing was read as the brit was given for Arvot Moav, and lo haya davar mikol asher tziva Moshe asher lo kara Yoshua neged kol ka'al Yisrael, v'anashim v'ataf v'agar alech b'kirbam. This became l'hakel, atem nitzavim hayom. We repeat over the entire, again, according to Ben-Uri Shon, this means to go over all of the mitzvahs of Torah. Some say it means really to go over the summary of the Torah that Moshe had given in the 36 days. It's difficult to understand. He did 36 days. They did all of this in 1 hour. And then, Vayikishmoa kolam lachim. Oops, sorry. Lo hayad avar mikol asher tziva Moshe. And this was in front of Kolka, Yisroel, Anashim, Vataf, Vehager, Haolech, Bekirban. And now the additions for today. All of this last piece is an expression of the mitzvah that was given in Dvarim, in Parshat Ki Tavoh. Where over there it says, Vayitzav Moshe v'ziknei Yisrael, the same zikenim that we talk about over here. Shmor et kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavetchem hayom, v'aya b'ayom asher tavru et ha-yarden, el ha-aretz asher Adonai Elohecha noten lach, v'akimot elach avanim gedolot, v'sadeta otam basid. Bring these avanim, cover them with seed, v'chatavta alayem et kol divrei ha-torah hazot bo'ovrecha, and you למען אשר תבוא אל הארץ אשר אדוני אלוהיך נותן לך, ארץ זבת חלב ודבש, כאשר דיבר אדוני אלוהי אבותיך לך. And then Vayaba over Chemet Hayarden, as you now cross the Yarden, Takimu et Avanim Ha'ele, Asher Anochi Mitzaveh Etchem Hayom Ba'areval, V'Zadeteh Otam Basi. And it ends with V'Chataftal Avanim Et Kol Divrei Torah Zod Be'eretev, which means it has to be written in 70 languages, which makes it even more difficult to conceive that it was the actual words of the entire Sefer Dvarim, but rather that it seems to have been some kind of summary, some kind of Sefer HaMitzvot, that could be written in all of these languages. But, micro-letters, yeah. But, what's interesting over here is that, indeed, the Gemara has a machloket, the pashtus of what it's saying over here, is that this has to be done on the day that you come in there at Yisrael. It says when you cross the Yarden. And indeed, there's a sheet in the Gemara in Seita that says that all of this happened in one day. So that, as Rashi says over here, this entire story, which was basically nearly 100 kilometers, I mean, this is major, 120 kilometers, okay. So if you measure it, it means that they came in, millions of people, crossed the Yarden, take out these Avanim, run all the way up to Shechem, come all the way back down to Gilgal, and all of the things that we were talking about before, we didn't even bother mentioning that minor, there wasn't even a minute to rest, you understand, that minor story of traveling 120 kilometers. And all of this is out of order, and ein mugdamu muchar batorah. However, there are other shitot that this didn't need to be done in that day. As a matter of fact, there's even a Yerushalmi that says, who says Har Gerizim and Har Eival have anything to do with Shechem? But the Har Gerizim and Har Eival are by Shechem. The Har Gerizim and Har Eival, the Moshe Rabbeinu says, what does Shechem have to do with Gilgal? What does Har Gerizim and Har Eival have to do with Gilgal? Completely different places. So what's the meaning, says the Yerushalmi? They made two little hills. They called one hill, we dub the Har Gerizim, and the other hill, they said, we dub the Har Eival. So the entire thing was symbolic. But this bracha of the klala, the way the Sifurno puts it, is so dramatic. What did they have to do all of this? Beyom Avrechem Etayim. This is the first thing you got to do. When you're crossing the Yarden, the first thing you got to do. So he says this comes to teach us that indeed, brachot v'klalot had to be understood as being the nature of life in Eretz Yisrael. There is no such thing as a normal life ever again. That's what they needed to say. It's all or nothing. And that's exactly what the past stories have been. The Me'ila and the Chayr and the change to I and so on. It really is an all or nothing approach. You will never have Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael for any length of time. Al Derech HaBeinunit. It's not going to be Al Derech HaMaspik. It's never enough. There's nothing that's called enough. It's either you choose life or you choose death. There's no way in which you can have living. There's no such thing as just plain living. And many people that can't stand that, indeed, can't stand living in Eretz Yisrael for exactly that reason. So now the question is, it's clear that some of this was done by Avraham HaTayarden because Yoshua actually took those Avanim out. So, I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to split, we're going to sakina harifa, we're going to take a knife, we're going to say, well, that part was indeed beyond Avraham HaTayarden, the others weren't. So indeed, the Malbim is Medayik, as our other Mepharshim. If you take a look in the Pasuk, the language is completely different. So note the differences here. First, the Torah says, V'yihaya b'yom asher ta'avru et ha'yarden, v'akimot l'chavanim gidolot. And then, be'ovrecha. Be'ovrecha, it says, v'chatavta alem et kol ivrei ha'torah, be'ovrecha. And then it says, v'haya be'ovrechem et ha'yarden, takima et ha'avanim ha'ele, v'areval, v'sadata otam basit. And there, build a mizbeach, and there, v'akivalita alavolot. So now the question, this is the way the Malbim puts it, but he actually is following here the footsteps of the Barbanel. To be medayik, the changes over here, why do we have twice the mentioning of what appears to be the same thing? And then it says, then first it says, not saying anything about Arival. Then it says only afterwards, about Arival. And then what does it say? V'chataftalem et kol divrei ha'Torah hazot ba'ovrecha. Well, obviously, ba'ovrecha, you've said that twice already. So the word ovrecha is extra. Therefore explains the Malbim that there's two separate mitzvahs over here in two different times. First it says, V'ya ba'yom asher tavru et ha'yarden, v'akimot alecha avanim gedolot. That's one tzivoy. And that was the tzivoy that was b'yom asher tavru. And indeed, the very same day, that's what Yoshua did. He stood there in the middle of the yarden, boto ayom. And he said, there should be la'ot elizikaron, ala nation aselem b'yarden, and so on, fine. Then, afterwards, not on the day, b'yom ovrecha, but rather b'ovrecha, when you are completed the transition into Eretz Yisrael. So that means other days later, and you're going to be ending up to do other mitzvahs with these same mitzvah, with these same avanim. And then v'sadat otam basid, write the divrei Torah, which right now we just mentioned that there will be such a mitzvah in the years, in the days to come. And then v'ayav ovrechem at hayarden. So then take takimat avanim ba'arival, take them from the place where you initially put them, which is in the malon, and put them in arival, and there do the second mitzvah, which is v'sadat otam basid, the binyan in the mizbe. The writing of great Torah on them, the fact that it should be Beretev so that the Umma Yisraelim can read it. And from that, indeed, Yoshua did exactly what he was told. So Mamela, there was part of the mitzvah was Mekuyam immediately, and yet it's possible, as Rav Shila says in Masechet Sanhedrin, that this last part of the Pasuk here is exactly where it belongs, because it only took place after the Milchama with Ai. What this means is that the reason that the story appears here is because this is the moment that we consider ourselves to have crossed. In other words, whether you hold that everything needed to be compressed into a single day, or whether we understand that this introduction to Sefer Yehoshua is in a dreamlike sense a single day, because from the heights and the repetitive Al Tirah Ve'Al Techat and the different ways of doing things, all of this has now coalesced in our minds as this is the way we came into Eretz Yisrael. We had some vision of ultimate possibilities which turned into only hopes. And then all of that was transformed into a lower level of Knis HaLaaretz, which is the Melchemet Ha'ai. But all of that is the day that we came in. Now we're ready to begin the Yerushas HaAretz. But until now, and this is the reason we had to make an impact with these cities. The other cities we don't burn. We allow, these are the Arim that were Mukafot, Chomam, Yimot, Yoshua, Binun, Adarabah. These are the cities that have the Kedusha, but they are Chayma, and so on. But the idea over here is the absolute terror, the no compromise that needed to be assigned at the beginning in the vision of the Umas Ha'ilah, that either this is total war, as it was in the end, or this is total hopelessness, as it was in the beginning, and we'll just leave. That had to be established right at the beginning, either with Yericho as one approach, or I is the other approach. And that relates I and Yericho in very profound ways, so that Yericho ends with a tail, in the same way that the I ends with a tail. One ends with Tikva, the other ends with war, one ends with Achan, the other ends with the king of I. But there's clearly now a relationship of needing to do battle, relating it all the way back to Melchemes HaMolech, Yoshua, and the original battle of Yoshua, in which he was not able to win. He can only be by Achalosh Yoshua, it was all done with the presence of the Shekhinah, but only as long as you remain aware of it, as long as you're mistaken klape mala. All of these things took place in one day, whether it means literally one day, or whether that's why we say az yivne Yoshua. That's a poetic language, az yivne, az yashir. In other words, at last, this is the culmination. So that means that even if you say it's begeder imu gedamu muuchar b'Torah, really it happened then, even if it really happened in one day, it needed to be defined here, because in our psychology, it only was completed now. And this accounts for another very, very strange medrash and gemara that occurs in multiple places. And that is, what was that mala that had come? What was his relationship to this whole business? Ani sar tzva Hashem, ata bati, and why did I come now? And Moshe didn't accept me. It's only you. I'm coming to you because you're on a much lower madrega. So the Gemara says that Yoshua, why do you say ata bati in terms of the immediacy of now, when we're about to start a war? What's the ata? So it says the Gemara that Yoshua asked him. He was obviously there as a terrifying figure. So are you lesoninu? So he says, the reason I'm a terrifying figure, says the Gemara, is because you guys are headed towards absolute disaster. Because after all, what you did was, yesterday, you went ahead and you were mevatel, the tamid of the Beit Arbayim in the preparation for the war. And now, you're being mevatel Talmud Torah. You got everybody out here playing games. This is it. You guys are in a horrific state. So Yoshua says, which one is worse? Was it the Bittul Torah or the Bittul Aveda? To which he responds, Atabati. You see, when I came, on the Bittul Torah. From here, the Gemara learns an actual halacha. Does it ask? So in other words, what you see from here is that which one is more chomer, Bittul Torah, Bittul Aveda, which we define now in terms of whether you're allowed to be mevatel one for the other. This is Nogea Mikra Megillah, which is why the sugya appears In Masechet Megillah, how can you say that Aveda is more common than Talmud Torah, which we use as a Kal Vachomer? We ask on here, but those are the halachic implications. Lemaisa, if you take a look at the Gemara, it says, Miyad Vayolan Yehoshua B'tocha Eimet, which first of all is not such a pasuk. It's Vayelah Yehoshua B'tocha Eimet. The pasuk earlier said, Vayolan Yehoshua B'tocha Am. And this is three prakim before. I mean, what do you mean, Miyad? The Malach appears over there at the beginning of Knesset La'aretz, and they're about to have their Melchama with Yericho. And now, at the Bechemes Ha'ai, at the last moment of the preparations, we're saying that's Miyad? So first of all, that means that the Gemara actually sees this as one event. And what the Malach was saying was something remarkable, according to the Midrash. Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha. Why aren't you in Avelut, is what he was asked. You should be in Avelut over the loss of Moshe, the loss of Torah, the loss of Avodah. Look at you guys. This is, you're in an absolutely horrific state in which Minas Adin is going to be Pegeayu. Of course, it's exactly the story we had with Nadav Avihu. So they sat Shiva, basically, before the event. Lemaisa, the events are going to turn out disastrous. And this he was asked to recognize. Lechatchila. So what we've gone from is everything in a sense is backwards. Pidyon Bechores took place before the mitzvah of Mila, in a way. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim is before Gilgal. So we go from Kriyas Yamsuf, downhill, from Pidyon, downhill to going across the Yarden, which is the actual Mila. The Medrash puts it in a beautiful, beautiful way. That Avelis, of course, relates to Vayolan Be'emek, an Emek Hakor, in the ground, covered with dirt over your head. What started off with Shal Na'alecha is mamish. Take off your shoes like someone who's being mitabel. Put dirt on your head like somebody who's being mitabel. Emek Achor becomes a simon for Hester, for Churban. And the very Churban that was Merumas in the beginning, as I mentioned to you, in many Midrashim about Rachav, you started off with some element of compromise, and that compromise is going to cost you Yerusha's Aretz. From the mice of Rachav comes Yirmiyahu Anavi, who's going to be telling it to you like it is, that you're going to lose all of this. So that means there is a sense of Avelis throughout the entire time, from the moment of the Giloy of this Malach. So that means we're putting together the entire Mechemes on Ai. The Lina of Yehoshua B'toch Ha'am, instead of going into the Beit HaMidrash, and then Vayelech Be'emek means that he recognized that the Mechama has to be part now of my understanding of the Torah. The bris that we're doing Bahar Eval has to be a bris on Torah. Not as a separate thing from the Mechama, but it's how I actually live the Mechama. So that now Milchamta Shel Torah, the Mechama of Eretz Yisrael, the vision of what it means to live in a land in which the mitzvot are the defining character of the actual territory, in which the land becomes the place for my identity and for my nefesh, and which the extent of the connection of my identity to the land is what determines our schus to it, and the way in which we're able to win wars. All of these things are intensely related to the nature of the brit that Moshe Rabbeinu says is in Kitavo, which itself is the brit that relates to the arvut, which goes into effect the instant that we're in the middle of the Yarden, threatened up with destruction at that moment. And if not, we can let the water come over you right now, so that as we cross the Yarden, the tail that stood there with Achan was already clear to us. So that means the Avonim that we take out of the Yarden may take quite a while until we're able to write the Torah on them, put them up in our Grizim and our Eval. But the fact is that all of this is a story that is Merame's birth, marriage, as the Medrash says, is three mitzvahs a father does for his child, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. There's Mila, which becomes now Gilgal, Hayom Galos Yeskarpas Mitzrayim. There's Pidyon, which was the Hodah Hashem from Eretz Mitzrayim. And there's marriage. So obviously, in the ultimate sense, the marriage is the presentation of Chava to the Marisha. But there's also the elements of marriage, which is the Zechus to Eretz Yisrael, which is the Zechus to Isha, to Mother Earth, and to our connection to life as a whole.